invite you to get your Bibles this morning. If you will, open to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Our main text is going to be built upon verses 5 and 6 of this text. Verse 1 of Luke 17 says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now, one of these little ones happened to be those young in Christ that believe in Christ. Verse 3 says, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, and rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this day, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the privilege that we have to come together in this capacity to study your word. Lord, I pray that we've come this morning with our hearts open and ready to receive your word, and not only to receive it, but to apply it to our lives, to learn by it, to grow by it, and to live by it. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here. You know the need of each individual. And Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray as your Spirit moves mightily among us and your word is preached this morning that we'll respond in obedience unto you. Lord, guide and direct my words. For its name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, over the years there have been many who have stated that they wish that they had more faith. And this morning we're going to be talking about how to increase your faith. Some have even shared that they have struggled with what little faith they had, yet they too desired to have more faith. Here's where we're reading in our opening text. Jesus had just taught his disciples a lesson on forgiveness, where he stated that we are to continually exhibit a forgiving spirit. In fact, the account that you read there with Peter is that speaking to Peter is that if you go back and study, he said, "Well, Lord, how often should we forgive someone? Seven times?" And he said, "No, 70 times seven." In other words, have a heart of forgiveness for people that you deal with. And that's when they were struggling with what some of the things that Jesus had to say. And again, they asked the question, or made the statement, asked him to increase our faith. And I want us to understand here that our faith, and I look at faith as our belief, our trust, our confidence, our steadfastness, and our assuredness in the Lord, can be increased if we're willing to set aside our own human frailties and to place our very being in the Lord's hands. And that's oftentimes why we are stymied or we are held back in our faith, is because we're unwilling just to give ourselves unto the Lord and let the Lord lead in our lives. But I want us to understand this morning is that in order for us to really increase our faith and have a increased faith. And I also am defining what I believe that an increased faith is. An increased faith is not just something that we get and we set on a shelf or on a mantle and say, this is something we have. And it's we have more of it. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about a faith this morning that it's what I call a persuaded faith. You say, well, what's a persuaded faith? I believe it's one that moves us to produce good works. A faith that moves us to produce good works. One that has a desire to have a changed life. And if our faith is really going to increase, there needs to be change. You know, we read there in, as an example, in Romans chapter 12, where it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And what does that mean? That's going to be walking a lot in faith. Present ourselves. to be at our master's use. And when I say our master, I'm talking about our Lord's use. And then it goes on to say that we are to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in order to be transformed in our mind, we have to allow the Lord to work in our lives if our faith is going to be increased. Here's what we're reading in our text. The apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith. And the Lord immediately turned and said, if, and I put a bracket around that word, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now why in the world would Jesus use such an illustration of a grain of mustard seed? Because when you look at the mustard seed, it is one of the smallest seeds of a plant that you might grow something from. And from that small plant, from that small plant can come forth one of the biggest hedges, if you will, from just that small seed. He said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you might say into this sycamine tree, and you said, what's a sycamine tree? Well, it's a mulberry tree. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you had such as much of faith as the grain of mustard seed. A life that sees possibilities, and I want to mention here about when we look about faith, a life that sees possibilities and success means that we allow the Lord to realize or bring to fruition the possibility and successes that He sees in our lives. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, what I'm trying to say is that when we talk about an increased faith, and again, the apostles, they asked the Lord, increase our faith. And what we need to realize is that we need to start looking at possibilities. We need to start looking at the successes of our life, because what the Lord sees within us is possibility. What the Lord sees within our life is success. His success. Him being allowed to work in our lives so that what can come forth is fruit that we bear for Him. That's what He sees. We are so caught up in trying to control our own lives. We only see the possibilities from our perspective. We have at many times failed to see and failed to realize the promises that the Lord gave us. In fact, in Philippians 1 and 6, it says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We turn it around and say, though He started a good work, I'll finish it. And I will tell you, your faith will not increase. When we look at the Scriptures and say is that as a result of trusting in Christ as our Savior, He started a great work within us, and if we will let Him come forth through our lives, then we will be confident that what we see come forth is a good work. And our faith will increase. Because you see, you and I can't see tomorrow, but He can. He knows what's in front of us. We also find in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. And as I've explained this text on other occasions, work out your own salvation means I allow God to work through me. I allow the Spirit of God to teach me, to guide me, to direct me. I let Him work out of me, and as a result, then His light, God's light, then can shine in my life. You want to have faith increased? You've got to let Him work through you. You're not working through Him, He's working through you. So this morning we're going to talk about some steps that I believe will help us to understand how to increase our faith. First of all, I believe that faith, if it's going to be increased, we have to start from a place of fixing our eyes upon the promises of God. And I want to be quoting several Scriptures this morning because I believe that the Scriptures can speak to our heart with regards to how our faith can be increased. Hebrews 11 and 1 says this. So let's define what faith is. Again, adding to what I've already mentioned. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, What does this mean? I have a hope so. I hope maybe that my faith will increase. I'll hope the Lord will return. I hope in that sense. Not confident, but I'm hoping. No, this is talking about having a steadfast hope. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, I trust, though I don't understand. As the Lord reveals Himself more to me and His Word becomes more real in life, then I'll start to understand and accept the premise that His Word can guide and direct my life day in and day out. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah started out, I would say, weak in the faith. Come on, 90-year-old woman, 100-year-old man, they're going to have a child? What would you say? Almost impossible, right? I mean, just look at it. 90-year-old woman, 100-year-old man, pretty much impossible today to have a child. And they looked upon themselves as that there's no way this is going to happen. But the Lord says, you know what? It's going to happen. It took a period of time to where they started to accept that what God had to say could come to fruition, and out of it was going to become something great as a result of it. And we find in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, you see, I look at it as that when we allow God to do the impossible, our faith will increase. Because, you see, we're the ones that put on restrictions on the Lord. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised," and I'll put a little parenthetical insertion of my own, "though he be 100 years old, though she be 90 years old, never having a child before," she had never had a child before, "he was able also to perform." The Lord was able also to perform. And as a result of their faith in the Lord, it was imputed to him, imputed to Abraham, for righteousness because of his faith. One of the things that we study God's Word and we fix our eyes upon Him, the Lord has told us He's not slack concerning His promises. And you know, I will tell you that oftentimes our faith wanes because of the fact is that we're not confident in the Lord. You and I are not confident. Do we not get up and we say, we may not say in these terms, but we say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," and yet we look and say, "Well, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that today." Where is your faith? Where is your faith that He's going to provide you with all of the promises that He said He was going to do? There were those that would say that when you look upon the promises, the Lord promised in the Old Testament that He was going to send someone, which would be of His own Son, to come to die on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin, that He would become the Messiah. And what did they do? Their faith waned. You say, "Well, how can you say that their faith waned?" Well, I will tell you, anytime you start turning to idol worship, your faith has waned. Anytime you start turning to your own desires, you start turning to your own ambitions, you start turning away from God and serving Him, I will tell you, their faith waned. But did God fulfill His promise? And the answer is yes. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. In fact, one of the things I find in Scripture, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24, it says, "Faithful is He that calleth you." In fact, Hebrews 10 and 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." I will tell you, as I mentioned in the beginning, our faith has to be one of action. If our faith is nothing more than a noun, we might as well take it as I've got this cup sitting up here full of water centered on our desk and say, "Well, my faith is in there." But I will tell you, that water, if it's not used with what's inside that cup, will be to no avail. But when I take that cup and I use it, I put it to good use, which I'm going to take a drink right now of it. Now, it moves me to greater action, because why? My voice is coming right back again. You see, I put it to use. I was persuaded that this water would help me. I was persuaded that if I picked it up and used it, it would bring back my voice. And it just showed that it did. You see, faith is taking something instead of making it a noun, but actually making it be a verb to produce good fruit in our lives. To produce some good fruit in our lives. The Word also promised that He was faithful. You and I at times sin. Did He not promise us that He was faithful to forgive us? If we do what? Confess our sins? That's what 1 John 1 and 9 tells us. So when we start looking at the promises of God, we fix our eyes on the promises of God. God has over and over and over again shown us and verified His trustworthiness. And I will tell you, one of the greatest promises that the Lord ever gave us was when He sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Because I'll tell you, if that wasn't fulfilled, you and I would be hopeless. But because it was fulfilled, as children of God, we have great hope in the Lord. The second thing I want to mention this morning about increasing our faith is that faith can be increased by exercising our will to believe. Now again, this is not a blind faith, but exercising our will to believe in expectation. And how do we grow in our expectation? First of all, sometimes we have to look backwards, right? If our faith is to increase, I've got to look backwards. I've got to look backwards and see, how did the Lord take care of me? How did He take care of me back here? Whether it was a year ago, whether it was 2 years ago, how did He take care of me with regards to an incident I had in my life? Maybe it could have been a physical issue, maybe it could have been a financial issue. How did He take care of me back there? And especially when I'm looking at something in front of me that I have no answer. And what in front of me might be a job issue, might be in front of me, it might be a financial issue, might be in front of me, it might be a marital issue, might be in front of me some disease issue. How am I going to deal going forward? We start looking sometimes back. We look back and say, well, but wait a minute, didn't He take care of me over in this section of my life? Didn't He take care of me over in this section? And remember when I went back to that place of my life, I did not know how He was going to deal with me. I didn't know how He was going to take care of me. And I will tell you is that sometimes we as parents, we have children, and our children get sick, and there's not anything we can do, and we search out, we seek to find a doctor. Somebody can give us an answer. We have no idea how that they can be fixed, but we have to have faith to place that child in the hands of God, to let God deal with that individual. Now the problem is, I believe that sometimes our faith to believe comes in the fact is that we want to choose the outcome. And when we want to choose the outcome, and the outcome that we have chosen does not come to fruition, our faith wanes. Our faith wanes. We study about different people in the Bible. I'll give you an example. Hezekiah. Hezekiah got sick. And one of the things he did is he went, he was laying on his bed, and he was crying to the Lord, Lord, do not let me die right now. Do not let me die right now. And the Lord came back and said, okay, I'm going to extend your life for 15 more years. Now, the Lord allowed him to live for another 15 years, but I will tell you, there were some things that Hezekiah did in those 15 years that caused some great grief to the nation of Israel. So if the Lord had called him home, because he had been told, prepare, I'm calling you home, I'm getting you ready to come home. You see, sometimes we think we know what's best for Hezekiah. He thought he knew what was best. But as a result, some issues came up as a result. Now, I'm not going to second guess God. God allowed that to happen. God allowed him to live another 15 years. But I'm just telling you, there were some things that happened. Because I look at it as that he said, I want to deal with the outcome. And you see, when we have issues in our lives, whether it's a child in our life, that is our own flesh and blood, it's got a situation, or it's a financial issue, we are the ones that want to direct the outcome. And when we do that, we're fixing ourselves on believing in us and our abilities instead of fixing our eyes on the Lord and His ability and letting Him choose the outcome. The child, in my example, the child could get well, praise God. But what if the child is called home? We should be praise God as well, because God, if He called that child home, and I know it's going to tear our hearts. And I know it's right now at this moment, it's easy for me to say. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my situation. But I want to tell you is that the Lord calls them home. That child, for whatever reason, was kept from having to go through all kinds of physical things in their life, potentially, for the rest of their life. And you see, God knows what's best. God knows what's best. And so, when I look at the apostles, and they said, increase our faith, that increase our faith says, Lord, help us to start to look at things through Your eyes, not through our eyes. Let us look to You as for the outcome instead of the outcome that we're demanding. And you know, one of the things is that I look at for our faith to increase, we've got to be like the fishermen that were told to cast his net on the other side of the boat. Remember the disciples? Is that after Jesus had arisen from the grave and right before he went back to heaven, the disciples were out there fishing all night. Didn't get anything. The Lord asked them, He says, hey man, you caught anything? No, we haven't caught a thing. He says, throw your net on the other side. Well, we've been fishing all night. We have nothing. Our hands are hurting. We've been fishing all night. Throw your net on the other side. Just do it. And they did. The Scripture says they had so many fish they couldn't pull it in, and they were surprised that the net didn't break. And in fact, they couldn't get it in. They had to get the boat to shore and then pull the net in. But they did what? The Lord said, put the net on the other side. You know, oftentimes we're told, and the Lord says we're to go out and we're to become what? We're to be fishers of men. To have faith. And I will tell you is that oftentimes when we go out and the Lord says, you know, if you go out into the fields or are white already into harvest, and we go out in our faith, is that the very first door we come to, and the very first door, somebody slams the door in our faith and says, no, in our faces, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear about your God. I don't believe in God. I don't want to hear about your God. But the Lord says that we're to do what? Keep going. But our faith is often tempered by what we deem as they have what? They have shut us down. They have rebuked us. And therefore, is that I'm just done. Where is our faith? The Lord says we're to be fishers of men. And the Lord also teaches us, if you've thrown the net over here on this side, and I'm going to use a little license here on my own, you've thrown it on the one side and you got nothing from it, even though you were consistent in going, He says, put the net on the other side. Throw the net on the other side. Don't give up. Keep going, because He said that we are to exercise our belief in Him. The third thing I want to mention is that faith can be increased by studying the Word of God. Now, in this congregation, in this church, you're going to hear a lot about studying God's Word. Why? It's because we want you to know. I want you to know. God wants you to know who He is. For this reason, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And so it's important that we study it. Study not just to know it. Study not just to meditate upon it. But study it to see that it's true. Study to see that it's real. And something that we need to apply to our lives. You know, one of the things that I find is that when we apply God's Word to our lives and we start to use it, we start to experiment with it, we start to apply it in our lives, and what ends up happening, we see, wow, it does work. It does work. I didn't think it was going to work. You know, do you realize that the Bible is a book of answers? It's not a book of questions, it's a book of answers. But we're so tempted not to turn to it, we turn to our own wisdom, we turn to the wisdom of others, we turn to, and the last place that we go is to God's Word and to His Spirit, meaning in prayer. The last place that we go. Because we're trying to solve our own problems. You have a marital issue? It's in the Bible. You have a financial issue? It's in the Bible. You have a sickness issue? It's in the Bible. You have a faith issue? It's in the Bible. You have a friend issue? It's in the Bible. You got a family issue? It's in the Bible. Everything that's in your life that is an issue, the answer is in the Bible. If we'll just study it. And have faith to trust and believe it. One of the things I find is that how many times have we ever quoted what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 119, verses 103 and 104? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. How many times have we said in our own lives, let's be honest, have we said, how sweet are the words unto my taste? How sweet are they? I look at also studying God's Word and following it. And again, we're talking about this, the apostles. Remember what the apostles were told here? Is that you need to learn how to forgive. Peter, as I mentioned earlier, Peter said, you know what? I want to forgive seven times in a lifetime. Because you see, in the culture of the Jews, if people were to be forgiven, seven times in a lifetime would have been it. So if you offended me seven times, you did it all one day, you've used up all your forgiveness. All right? And the Lord said, not seven times in a day. He said, or in a lifetime rather, He said 70 times 7, and I look at that daily. Daily. In other words, an error of forgiveness. Now why in the world would they need to learn that? Why in the world would you and I need to learn that? Why would we need to invest our time? Because I will tell you, the Lord forgives us probably much more than 490 times a day. And for you and I to exhibit our faith in the Lord, to have the patience, to have the understanding, to have the reasoning, the knowledge, the grace to forgive someone else, is that we have to be reminded that He is forgiving us day in and day out. That's why they said increase our faith, because you see, that was a struggle. You're asking me to take all of our culture, all of our understanding and the laws that we have, and you're asking us to take and set those aside to a greater culture, a greater set of laws, and a greater understanding. Over here they had the Jewish law, they had the Jewish culture, they had the Jewish understanding. Over here there was Christ's law, Christ's knowledge, Christ's understanding, and what they had over here with the Jewish law, the law of Moses, was death. But what they have over here with God's law is grace. And you and I have a hard time understanding grace. You and I have a hard time understanding what grace is all about and how to live in grace, how to live in mercy, how to live with following after His Word. And I will tell you, we all need to be saying, Lord, increase our faith. And again, that faith is not only just to understand and to be more strengthened, but it's to actually put it into motion so that we can serve the Lord. That's why it says that we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that we can do what? Understand that God's word is good for instruction. It is good for guidance, that we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I will tell you that as a result of studying God's word, as a result of putting into action, you and I will start to understand what it means to obey. And when we obey God, it's pleasing unto Him. And oftentimes, our obedience unto the Lord is counterintuitive to our flesh nature. Our obedience unto God, what I mean is counterintuitive, there are things that we do in our flesh because we do it because it's comfortable, it's easy, it's what everybody else is doing. And when the Lord says that we need to go a different direction, because you see, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when we start to go in His direction, we will run in conflict to those in this world that are going to stand against us. And that's why we need to increase our faith. Now, one of the ways that we increase our faith, the fourth way, is that we can increase our faith by praying for more faith. Have you ever thought about praying? They said, increase our faith. This really was a prayer. Increase our faith. And we ought to be asking the Lord to increase our faith through prayer. But you see, is that in order to increase our faith, the Scripture says this, Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing. And that's a word that needs to be underscored. We ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. What do we need to believe in? His promises. The Lord says also, though, we have to also be very clear that when we're praying, we need to be praying in His will. Remember what I said, the Bible is a book of answers. You and I need to be praying for what is in His will. You know, oftentimes we start praying for things, and Lord, you know I need a better car. Lord, you know I need a better house. Lord, you know I need... Let's be honest. Lord, you know I want a bigger car. Lord, you know I want a bigger house. Lord, you know I want a bigger savings account. Lord, you know I want these things. And I believe you can deliver those things to me. Lord, I know you can do it, but is it good for me? Because you see, sometimes we forget that when we're praying for things, and we're praying for temporal things. I'll tell you, you'll get that newer car, how are you going to pay for it? You'll get that newer house, how are you going to pay for it? You'll get all this other money at your disposal, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to guide you, or are you going to guide it? You see, my point is that oftentimes we ask for these temporal things, but when we are asking in His will, you might say, Lord, our car is falling apart. It's got 140,000 miles on it. It's got all this rust. You go down the road, and every time we hit a puddle, you got to pick up your feet because the water is blowing in underneath. I fixed it how many times? I can't keep all the water out. Lord, we need another car. Can you provide us one that's within our means? You see, that's a need. That's a need. And the Lord can provide that. You see, my point is that when we start praying for things that the Lord, if we pray for more faith, and we start looking at that, how many times have we come to the Lord and said, Lord, here's some things I need to pray for. I've got a family member over here that needs to be saved. I need them, they need to be saved. And He asks you, have you ever talked to them? Well, no, because I know they know me and I don't want to talk to them because if I talk to them, you know, they're not going to accept me. But you never talk to them, you never tried. Have you ever said, Lord, instill within my heart the words to speak so that I may speak to them? Because you see, over here on the other side, we had the tangible things of our world. Over here on this other side, when we start praying for our lost loved ones, those are the spiritual side of things of eternity. Lord, I need to be able to speak. I have just not been eloquent in speech. And the Lord says, but have you seen Moses? Moses went before the Lord and said, I can't spell that word. They're not going to listen to me. All right, Moses, get your brother Aaron. Moses missed on some blessings because he was so unwilling to be the mouthpiece. And God asked him, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made you? And then he did some things. You know, throw your stick on the rod on the ground. Turn it into a serpent. Pick it up. Picked it up. Turned back into a serpent. Take your hand. Put it in your coat. Pull it out. Leprous. Put it back in. Non-leprous. Pull it back out. Non-leprous. He said, now wait a minute. If I can do these things with you, don't you think I can give you the words to speak? And so finally, we get the courage to speak to our loved one. And then they come to know Christ as Savior. Why didn't you step out on faith? Increase our faith. You see, we've got to be the willing vessel to go forward. Now, it may very well be that that family member says, no, I don't want to listen to you. That could be the result. So what would be your next thing? Lord, I'm defeated. Nothing I can do. I'm not going to pray anymore. They don't listen. No, the next prayer should be this. Lord, they won't listen to me, but I know that the seed has been planted. Will you send someone else to them that they might be able to speak to them and your Spirit might be able to touch them? And by the way, even though that they didn't listen to me, I will answer that other person's prayer and I will go to their need. You see, when we start praying for faith, it is to move us to action, not to defeat. Remember why our faith is the Lord sees possibilities. The Lord sees success in our lives. Recently I read a quote that I think very much envelops what we're discussing about increasing our faith. It says this, sometimes things fall apart so other things can fall together. Sometimes things fall apart so that other things can fall together. And after reading that quote, it reminded me just how important it is for us to be firm and grounded in our faith. For without that type of steadfastness, we will never ever learn the depths of what we often quote in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together. And you see, if you and I don't realize that sometimes things need to fall apart so that other things can be put together to make things better in our lives, then I will tell you, we will have a very difficult time of our faith being increased. Faith is like building blocks. You search the Scriptures and you'll find is that The Lord tells us, as an example, His Word in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You say, well, how does that apply to increase our faith? Oftentimes, we walk into the tunnel of life, and our faith is that we don't even see the light at the end. All we see is the darkness. But you see, if our faith is grounded in the Lord, if our faith is steadfast in the Lord, you and I can walk into that tunnel and know that there's light at the end. You know that there's light at the end, that the Lord will take us through it. But again, faith is a building block. They build upon one another. Our faith has to grow one step at a time. And remember what Jesus said to the disciples, the apostles. He says there in verse 6 of our text, "If ye had the faith as a grain of mustard seed." And for how many of us, we have no faith at all? None. You say, well, how can you say you have no faith? Because you live your life not exercising it. Every issue that comes into our lives, they're a dilemma. They're a disaster. Every issue that comes in our life. We go from one disaster to the next disaster. We go from one dilemma to the next dilemma. We can't seem to get ourselves, and we ever ask, well, why? It's because we've lost our mooring. Our foundation seems to be washed out from underneath us. You remember what the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount? And I'll read the Luke's account of it. You can read it in Matthew 7, but I'll read Luke's account. Luke 6, 30, 47 says this, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." You see, that's what our lives need to be moving towards. We want to have our faith increased. We need to build that faith one step at a time, one rock at a time, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The fifth thing I look at here this morning is that faith can be increased by developing the attitude. I'm going to give you what's called an acrostic. An acrostic is this. You take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. How many of us limit our faith and trust the Lord by how we feel at the moment? And again, this goes back to where we are in our situation. We look at our situation and it looks dire. We look at our situation, and many of us have had to deal with an example over the last year and a half, 2 years. We had to deal with job issues. We had to deal with financial issues. And what did we do? Did we look at it and say that it's just our place is going to fall apart? Or do we look at it and say, you know what? I know how the Lord's going to take care of it, but He's going to take care of it. Lord, teach me. And maybe, Lord, teach me how to live on less than what I have. And even if it's not, Lord, teach me how to live on less, Lord, I'm going to trust You that You're going to open a door when it's Your time. But you see, we get tied up. We get struggling as to, we get anxious. We get anxious and, Lord, well, when are You going to provide it? Forsaking all, I trust Him. When are You going to provide it? Forsaking all, I trust Him. When are You going to provide it? Forsaking all, I trust Him. When are You going to provide it? In Your timing, I'll accept it. I don't know how You're going to do it. Don't know when You're going to do it. But Lord, as long as all the bills are being paid, food's on our table, roof's over our head, I'm going to trust You. You see, that is increasing our faith to trust Him on a daily basis. You and I have a hard time with Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." We have a hard time with that. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. You know why? Because we're the ones that are trying to guide God. God, I want the outcome to be this, and I mentioned this earlier. I'm not forsaken all the ways. And you see, here's the thing is, the Lord may give us our prayer because we've told Him how we wanted to pray, and you know what? We miss out on blessings. Because our prayer was limiting. Our prayer limits God at times. Lord, this is the outcome I'd like to have. And He'd say, well, if you just wait on me, if you just wait on me, something better would come along. No, Lord, I want this. I want this way. I want it now. He said, okay, you can have it. And He gives it to us. and we move in that direction, and yeah, we can go through life in that direction, but we will never understand how much He could have given us. And I didn't say about financial things. That's not what I'm talking about. If we had gone in His path and done His way, I look at it as the greater opportunities He would have for, give us to do what? To be a blessing unto Him. Greater blessing unto Him. Because if I'd allowed Him just to, if I just waited on Him, if I just waited on Him so that we could move forward in His will and His way. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're all being tested. And I think in our society today, we're all being tested. We're being tested every day of our life. And I think the testing is going to get harder. As we see the day approaching, our testing is going to get harder. You and I are really going to need each other more and more as we see the day approaching. Evil is abounding in our lives and around about us. And that's why it's imperative that, in order to trust the Lord, we have to develop the mind of Christ in us and let Him develop it in us. That's why the Lord said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That we became what? He became humble. We have to become humble. And you say, "Well, Lord, that's just really hard. The people I deal with, if I show any sign of humility, you know what? They're going to trample on me." Be humble. Be humble before those that are about you. And I will tell you, when we trust the Lord, there's going to be times that our hearts are going to be troubled. And what did the Lord tell us in His Word? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and by the way, I am, there you may be also." One day He's coming back for us. And you see, when we start to study His Word and we start to understand who He is, I will tell you is that what will come from is the trouble in our hearts will start to flee, and as a result, joy will come back to our soul. In fact, the psalmist wrote this, "But let all those that put their trust in Me rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them." I find in Scripture that even though that there are those that do harmful things to God's children, He says, "I know how to repay those that have done bad things to you." Trust in Him. "I know how to take care of that," He said, "but keep going forward." Now again, what I've said thus far in this message this morning, you say, "Well, that all sounds easy, preacher," but we're going to have to go back to reality when we walk out of these doors this morning. Yeah, but you know what? You'll go out better equipped. You'll go out better with better information if you will take it and apply it. If your prayer is, "Lord, increase my faith," you will be able to go out with better equipped. You'll be able to say, "You know what? I learned this morning from the Scriptures. I learned this morning that God's Word has all the answers if I'll just dig into it. There's not an issue in my life that God cannot deal with, but He will take care of it." But you know, one of the things I see here is that you and I have to come to a place in our lives where we're willing to turn things over to God. If we're really wanting to, remember the apostles, they struggled. They were struggling in this one little thing. Now, they had other struggles, don't get me wrong. What do you mean forgive somebody? How is it we're to forgive somebody? That's just not in our nature. And that was one of the things they struggled with. That is just not in my nature to forgive. I've talked to family members, not our family, but other family members, people have come that I've counseled with, and told me, "Pastor, I haven't talked to my siblings in over 20 years. 20 years? Why? We just don't get along. We just don't get along." "Why is it you don't get along?" "Oh, we had a falling out 20 years ago. We just never got along." Did you ever try to make amends with that individual? Did you ever try to put the first foot forward? Did you ever try to say, "Lord, help me to increase my faith so that I might be able to forgive them"? Maybe they were the ones that in the wrong, but you just harbored that. And the more you thought about that individual, it was like it just didn't work for you. I just can't forgive them because of look at what they did. And the years go by. And you lost all this time that you could have had with them. And I've heard of I've counseled with people, not just a sibling, with a parent. I haven't talked to my parents for 10 years. Why haven't you talked to your parents? Oh, you just don't understand, pastors, that they just... But what if they die and you never have an opportunity to speak to them again? Lord, increase my faith. Because you see, that interaction that you and I have with one another is so needed, especially in our families. And think about this. Think about the Lord. The Lord says, He's there in heaven. Before the foundations of the world were ever created, He looked down upon man. Man hadn't been created yet. And said, you know what? They're going to hate me. They're going to hate me. Why would I even want to create them? They're going to hate me. They're not going to love me. Why would I even take the time to create them? And let alone, why would I even take the time that, because I know they're going to hate me, why would I even take the time to even give them a way out? Why? Because they're going to hate me. And God's sitting there talking to Himself. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're communing. So I'm just putting it in my own thought, my own mind, my own illustration. They're talking amongst themselves and said, you know what? Yeah, they're going to hate us. But you know what? There's going to be a few of them that love me. There's going to be a few of them that I'm going to send. Jesus, you're going to go and die for them. And Jesus said, yep, I'm going to go die for them. I'm going to pay for their sin debt. Because I know that there's going to be a few of them that are going to love me. And they're going to look at me as being the Savior. And they're going to make me Lord of their lives. And they're going to be the ones that are going to have their faith in me, not only to believe, but to live for me. And they're going to die in their faith. But you know what? And they're going to be united with us. And we are going to live together. Now remember, God in His omniscience knew that we were going to hate Him. We were enemies before He ever came to this earth. We were going to be enemies. He said, well, how do we become enemies? Because the very moment that Adam took of that fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, they became enemies. You and I, because we're direct descendants of Adam and Eve, we are enemies upon our very nature, upon our very birth. But you see, God looked through glory. God looked through glory and looked at it through us, and He looked at us and He said, you know what? There is hope for these people who will trust in Me. And you see, one of the things I find is that if we are going to increase our faith, you and I must look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we, in our faith, as our faith increases, what should happen is that our hope should increase. And what I mean by that is our earnest, expectation of hope is that we look forward to the day that the Lord is going to return. We look at His Word and we thank Him for what He's done by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And I will tell you, every time that I look at and study the Scriptures and understand is that there is no reason that God should have loved me. There is no reason that God should have loved you. There is no reason, but it was for His grace, for His love, for His mercy, for His kindness. He died that I might live. But God committeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and that word means enemies, He died in our place. And knowing that, and understanding that, and knowing that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to trust in Him. Jesus died so that you might live forever. That you might live forever. And I may put a qualifier around it. That you might live forever with Him. Because whether or not you realize it, you are going to live forever. You are. this body is going to die, but you are going to live forever. The question is, where am I going to live? With Him forever or separated from Him forever? The Lord has given you faith to believe in His Son Jesus. Not only did He love us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, but He also gave us the faith to believe that Jesus is the Savior. And you see, when we take that God-given faith and we place it in Jesus to save us, we asked Him to forgive us of our sins, and we trust in Him, and He saves us, then you know what? We now have a life in Christ. We have a life for all of eternity with Him. And then we can start to say to Him, Lord, increase our faith. You gave me the faith to believe. I believed. I trusted in Jesus as Savior. Now I pray for the faith to walk a daily walk with You. And we who are children of God this morning, are we asking, are we praying, Lord, increase our faith? But you see, not just to increase it so that I don't use it, but to increase it so I may be a better vessel for You to use it. You see, that prayer needs to be prayed by each and every one of us. Every day, that needs to be my prayer. That I become a greater vessel. And not only that, help me to understand Your ways, Your thoughts, Your direction. When You say that Your Word is good to direct my path, You will never let me go off the path. What does that mean? Help me to trust it. I don't always have to see where You're taking me. But I always have to know that where You're taking me is always good for me. Does that make sense? I may not always know where You're going, but I always know that where You're taking me is always good for me. Because You will never harm me, because You love me. You see, when we give ourselves to that type of faith, I will tell you, we'll have a greater desire to walk with Him. We'll have a greater desire to be used of Him. And we'll have a greater desire to be a person or a people, if you will, of faith. We all need to be saying, Lord, increase our faith. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father, as we come to the close of this study, we thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us. And Lord, if we were to examine every chapter of everyone's life, even as children of God this morning, we would know that there's been times that chapters were stunted off because our faith was weak. And a new page had to be turned when we started. But Lord, if we were just to have exercised faith in You, many more pages would have probably been written in that chapter of our life, and it would have been more rejoicing and more perseverance and endurance. Lord, with the simple things of our life, day in and day out, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's issues that we're dealing with our homes, our family, our marriage, whatever the case may be, Lord, increase our faith. But Lord, I pray for one in our midst this morning who's never trusting Your Son Jesus as Savior, that Lord, they would use their faith to trust in Your Son Jesus. But Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here this morning. But Lord, I pray in obedience we'll exercise the faith You've given us. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.